This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. As a war correspondent, P.J. O'Rourke traveled to some of the most dangerous and notorious places on Earth. He compiled those experiences in his popular travelogue, Holidays in Hell. He's now traveling under another guise, the Family Man, with excursions that come off more like the Griswold series of family vacation.
I don't want to be in the car anymore. I want to go home. I don't want to go to Wally World.
Clark, under the circumstances, I wouldn't mind if we just went home. In retrospect, it seems like a pretty bad idea driving out. It's been one disaster after another.
Yeah, it's been a real drag, Dad. Maybe we can try it some other time.
What do you think?
I think you're all f***ing in the head.
Makes sense. PJ was once the editor-in-chief at National Lampoon. He finds plenty to poke at in his cheeky new book, Holidays in Heck. A former war correspondent experiences frightening vacation fun. I caught up with the New Hampshire resident before we all headed over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. And I asked him if he misses the old danger zones he used to write about.
Yeah. No, I guess the answer is no. I mean, I spent years and years as a foreign correspondent, and this spring, when we were having the Arab Spring, and I'm watching it on television, I thought, why am I not feeling the old war horse urge to be over there in Tahrir Square? And the simple answer is that over the course of 20 years of being a foreign correspondent, I had just been shouted at enough, taking nothing away from the valor of the people involved or the righteousness of their cause. I guess I'd seen enough of that.
So what's the biggest challenge then in writing what you call pleasure journalism, traveling in some more comfortable places?
Not enough awful things happen. The only thing that excuses travel writing, I don't think I'm alone with my annoyance every week at the travel section in the New York Times. Gosh, it was pretty here, and gee, the food was good. And shut up. You know, it's like being dragged over to somebody's house to see their slideshow. So the only thing that ever excuses travel writing of any kind is to have a lot of just horrible things go wrong. You know, to have to chew your own arm off in order to escape from the rock fall or something like that. Because otherwise, the readers are just going, well, he got to go someplace interesting and I didn't. And so the problem with traveling for fun is that it is fun. And you can't put too much of that fun in there or the readers will want to kill you.
So luckily for that, we have what?
I have three children, you know, and I'm married. And so therefore trouble comes.
We spoke after you'd written Driving Like Crazy.
That's right.
You told me you were son of a car salesman. Mm-hmm. Now, do I get a sense of this diehard gearhead when you were given the opportunity to go tour the new Airbus A380?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have an old friend, Peter Flynn, who sells Airbus airplanes. And I got to see the A380, the Mongo double deck. I was hard put to describe this. I mean, I'm an old reporter, and so usually I'm talking about the building caught fire and many died. You know what I'm saying? The wing is so big, let's say as long as football field. It certainly seems that way. It's big enough at the base that you could park a car in there. I mean, that's how thick the wing is at the base. And it goes all the way out to this thin edge, mm-hmm. a football field away. I'm up on the scaffolding at the end of the wing with the Airbus's chief engineer. And he says to me, touch it. And I reach out and very gingerly touch the end of this wing. And he said, no, yank on it. And so I pulled, and that whole monstrous thing flexes. I mean, it was as delicate to the touch. A simile is failing me here, but I mean, more flexible than a baking tin uh-huh. would be. I mean, some more responsive to the touch than something I'll think of later that will, you know, as
you
I
can
leave
just
this
call
studio.
Us,
yeah,
you know,
I'll call you and we'll fill this in. It was yes, more responsive to the touch than a brim of a good hat.
There we have it.
There was the metaphor I was searching for.
We're speaking with P.J. O'Rourke. He's got a new book out called Holidays in Heck. A former war correspondent experiences frightening vacation fun. Let's go then from this feat of engineering to the natural world. You had what sounds like a terrific trip to the Galapagos with a bunch of Texas Republicans. How did this get off the ground, first off?
Well, as a matter of fact, my Texas Republican friends are very devoted to the outdoors. They own a lot of land in Texas. They maintain that land very carefully. They do this, of course, for the rather un-PC purposes of hunting on it.
Uh-huh.
they hunt quail, they hunt deer, they hunt turkeys. But they are very good stewards of the land that they own. They're very interested in what Democrats call the ecology and what Republicans call the outdoors. But anyway, they love it. And they thought, gosh, it would be fun to go to the Galapagos, but it wouldn't be fun to go on one of these cruise boats or tour boats slapped in with a lot of other people you don't know. So what this couple in Texas did was they spent about 2 years coordinating all their friends' schedules so that about 60 of us managed to go at the same time. We got one of these tour boats, but it was just ours. And it cost us no more than the tour would, mm-hmm. except that we were all with friends and friends of friends. So we all knew each other.
It's like a party barge.
It was a party barge, absolutely. And we really, really had a wonderful time. And it is extraordinary stuff to see. And it was also very interesting about sort of Republican reaction to us. You know, people think of Republicans, they think of, oh, they don't believe in evolution, you know, or something like that. Well, of course, that's nonsense. But we do believe in evolution. But our question, when any of the guides would tell us that such and such a species was endangered, our first question was always, how do they taste? Because it's our Republican logic that if something is endangered, it's probably because it's delish and it's being eaten up by other creatures and man himself.
There's so much more in the book, but I just was very curious about going to see the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. I mean, you're not a member of the greatest generation.
No, I'm not, although my folks were both veterans of it. I guess I was initially attracted by all the controversy over the design, and I'd written a piece for The Atlantic making fun of it all, saying, no, when is my generation, the veterans of domestic disorders, the bunch of hippie dips that failed to go to Vietnam, when are we going to get our memorial? You know, and what would it be like? My wife says a mirror to stare into. I want it to be a little concave so that it's slimming a bit. She's Generation X. My guess is that Generation X's monument is going to be a Prada backpack, you know, with a Brady Bunch CD in it. But anyway, so I had put off going to see it for a long time, and it's terrible. It really is terrible.
Yeah, you didn't give it a real good review.
No, and it's offensive. But were it a noble building, were it a beautiful building, or even if it were a building truly memorializing the people who lost their lives in World War II, all this would be excusable. But it's one of those, you know, modern, all-inclusive, this is a memorial not just to the 400,000 people who died in World War II, but to the millions upon millions, you know, who gave up meat on Wednesdays or something, you know. So it just makes it like a memorial to showing up, you know. And then if they'd put this thing up when they should have in 1946, when everybody got home from all the real sacrifices they made, that would be one thing. But we wait until we're getting very sentimental now about the greatest generation, unless we're, of course, behind them in the 10 items or less line at the grocery store while they debate oleomargarine coupon expiration dates with the clerk. Just at the moment when we're putting them all in nursing homes, we build this ugly thing in the middle of one of our most beautiful public spaces that's supposed to be a monument to them, you know.
Where are you headed next, PJ?
Where am I headed next? Well, home later this afternoon.
How do you compare negotiating being at home with three kids to being a war correspondent, for example?
Oh, I think anybody in their right mind would pick artillery fire. You know, the kids are cuter than war, less generally deadly, you know, heart attack and stroke sometimes accepted. On the other hand, they're less predictable. Generally speaking, in a war, there are good guys and there are bad guys. I've noticed at my house, there are no good guys, especially Dad.
We're so glad you're with us. Thanks so much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
You can find more on Holidays in Heck, as well as Holidays in Hell, Eat the Rich, Give War a Chance, and On the Wealth of Nations. You'll find those links all at wordofmouthradio.org. And you can also follow us all over Heck on Facebook and on Twitter. This is Word of Mouth from NHPR.
We're Word of Mouth is produced by Taylor Quimby, Virginia Prescott,
and Rebecca Lavoie, with oversight and direction from Abby Goldstein, NHPR's Vice President of Programming,
and web support from Brady Carlson
and Courtney Kenya.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals,
not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters.
For information about the show,
to subscribe to our podcast, post a comment,
or to read our blog,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join our community of listeners on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio.
You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at Word of Mouth.
We should do like a thing where we go,
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.
Whoa, totally out of breath there. I'm going to try that again.